Blog Talk Radio.
He was up each morning with the dawn, because he knew his daily run was long and hard, and he had to be ready to get his freight train down the track. Determination he would never lack. The little locomotive called Freight Train Freddy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Getting on Top. I'm your host, Paul Morris. We're here Tuesdays now from 4 to 4:30 p.m. That's East Coast time. And we broadcast from the Southern Hudson Valley region of New York State, which is, if you're out of town, is the northern suburbs of New York City, my hometown. And we're going to talk today about Healing God with Penny Cohen. If someone has a comment or question to ask, you can call in. The call-in number is 1-347-215-9456. And that little ditty you heard was Freight Train Freddy from the book. It's a rhyming children's story about a 19th century steam engine going through the West that I wrote. And the person who wrote and sang that song is Peter Tizone. He's also the illustrator of the book. He has some beautiful pictures that he drew. And if someone would like to see those pictures or read some of the rhyming verse that I wrote, you can go to ftfcreations.com. That's FTF, as in Freight Train Freddy, creations.com. And you could get the e-version for $2.99 for the Kindle or the iPod. And the iPod version also has a complete song. You could also buy the soft cover version of the book as well. I'm very happy today to have back. From where were you just?
I was in Mexico.
From the west coast of Mexico. Puerto Vallarta, was it?
Yes, it was.
Puerto Vallarta,
beautiful,
yes,
82-degree sunny weather every day.
All right. A little commercial for Mexico. And it is beautiful there. I've been myself. Penny Cohen is a licensed clinical social worker, transformational psychotherapist, relationship counselor, and author of the book Personal Kabbalah, 32 Paths into Peace and Life Purpose. And you could find Penny at www.pennycohen.com. And today we're going to talk about, you know, why would a perfect entity like God need to be healed. The name of the show is Healing God. And but, you know, my proposition here is, if we are part of God, which is what I believe is the case, and we're talking philosophically here, this is not about religion today. It's about philosophy, if you will. And then maybe our journey and healing is God's journey as well, and God's experience. And also, another little goodie here is, perhaps the Akashic Record, which is supposed to keep the experiences of everyone who ever lived, maybe this is God's memory bank, so to speak, in the electronic age when we talk about computers and such. If anyone would like to call in and put in their 2 cents for it, I'm happy. I just want to say one thing before I get Penny in here, is I know, because I read Penny's book somewhat. I didn't read the whole thing, but I've read Kabbalah as well, and also the in India, they believe that you know, the reason we're here is that God wanted to have many different kinds of experiences, and there are a lot of interpretations of why we're here. One, from what I heard from a version of Kabbalah, is that because things are so perfect on the other side in heaven, we wanted to appreciate it more by coming to the earth, where we know is kind of hellish for many people at times. Even for normal people, we all have our, you know, problems and issues and things that go wrong. So who knows? And we're going to talk a little about it today. So, Penny, what do
interesting.
You think?
I never heard about them saying that God wanted to appreciate the other side more.
It is from a version of Kabbalah, actually. That's where I got
it. That I never heard. I mean, there are many different interpretations. I just find that interesting.
Mm.
I mean, the primary message, the way I understand it, is that God created man in his image because he wanted to experience life. And,
okay.
You know, I like to describe it in a little bit humorous way that when God created man in his image, a mirror was created. However, the mirror was shattered.
Mirror.
And instead, God saw God in shambles, which was us.
Mm-hmm.
And then God asked us to be a co-partner to come home to oneness.
Mm.
And God, if God wanted to experience life, we have to open up to receive God. So he asked us to be a co-partner to come home to oneness. But we refused because we thought we knew better.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, well, there are many traditions and ways of looking at it. So I guess when I came up with the title, Healing God, because I've been thinking about it a lot, you know, it's something, you know, something to ponder, obviously, for a lifetime.
I think a lot of people are questioning these types of questions, yes.
Yeah, people who think about these things, absolutely. And then it just came to me, this title, Healing God, in the way of thinking that if we are part of, you know, maybe, because typically people would think of God as an entity, per se, complete. And then, you know, and that's the way I always thought about it. And then we are like clay, you know, trying to be molded into this perfect form. And then when we perfect, then we kind of join in God's energy and become like God, maybe, you know, not part of God, but certainly God-like. You know, and rise up, you know, into the hierarchy on the other side, if you will. And but then there's a thought that everything that exists, every particle, is part of God. God is everything, and everything is God. And everything is made from love in the beginning, and so that it would make sense. So maybe in us healing ourselves, God is, you know, healing. It becoming more of what more love. It's like becoming more of what God is, you know, and just growing. And this is part of what's going on. But it's something we'll never know. I believe we're not supposed to know. I believe we understand it when we're on the other side. When we come here, we forget. We're not allowed to really completely understand it. There's something blocking it. Because I think the people, and I was talking to Penny off the air before about this, that we are like a computer program. Because I was a computer programmer, I know how programs work. And the more I thought about it, the more I believe we are like that, which means we can be blocked. So when we have certain thoughts, you know, we try to understand certain things, we can't. Something goes haywire in our thinking. And some people could literally go mad trying to think of some things, and some people do, unfortunately, because we're not allowed, you know, when we try to think in a certain area, the program goes off, or, you know, it goes into a certain state, and which disallows us in a way from understanding something we're not supposed to understand. But that's just my thinking. So what did you think about the title, Penny? I mean,
I actually love the title, Healing God, because I think if you think of the metaphor of a mirror shattering and seeing us in shambles, in order to become one and whole again, we have to open up to this love And we, I believe, are actually being shown how to do this. And that's why, you know, people use the term life lessons. What's the lesson here? What am I learning? Who's showing me the lessons? Now, I don't believe there's a God that watches over to reward and punish. I do believe there's oneness of us all. And that, to me, the word God is the love and wisdom above the oneness of us all, the love and wisdom in the universe. And when we open our hearts to that love and wisdom, we're making God, we're bringing God down to earth, which is one of the principles of Kabbalah. The actual word Kabbalah means to receive, and along with receiving the ways of God, it's receiving the divine light and love. And I believe the more we receive that light and love, the more whole we each become.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting when you talk about shattering, what popped in my head right away was the devil. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In other words, you know, that kind of the metaphor, whatever you want to call it,
evil.
That,
you know,
yeah. We can, well, we come down. We supposedly he was the you know, an angel, and then he left heaven, and then you know dwells on earth or in the nether world, wherever that is, and similarly. When we, you know, you're in your metaphor about shattering the mirror and then coming back together, that, you know, we entered this place of, you know, non-holiness, if you will. And now, in order to come back, we have to put ourselves together, just like, you know, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call
Lucifer... or Satan, they say, is not that evil. They're just here to test us.
Well, yeah, but metaphorically it is evil. In other words, when anything exists, I believe in this, in a world, in the physical world, its opposite has to exist. So when people say, does the devil really exist? Well, if God exists even as a concept, then the devil has to exist as a concept. You can't have one without the other. Because it's the yin and the yang,
right.
Exactly. Duality and everything, even a concept, an idea, a thought, has to have its equal and opposite, because the world cannot exist without, it's a world of opposites. It's a world of duality.
But
and
the
this
world
is not
of
about,
opposites doesn't
it's
necessarily
about, you know,
mean evil and good.
I didn't say that. I didn't say it. It doesn't necessarily mean evil and good. But if evil exists, good has to exist, and vice versa, because the duality must exist. So when one exists, the opposite has to exist. And when you're talking about the Garden of Eden, think about the thing, when you talk about duality here, think about, you know, when, you know, it's all a metaphor, let's face it. It's not a literal thing, and when they took a bite of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, it's not only a tree of knowledge, it's the knowledge of good and evil,
mm-hmm.
which is duality. When we, that's what, the reason we left the Garden of Eden, the garden where we had unity, and went here is because we had the duality, because we were aware of duality, good and evil, you see? And once we accepted duality, we were in duality, and we were out of unity. It's a metaphor for leaving heaven and coming to earth. So it's the same kind of thing. Good and evil is the basic concept of duality, the two opposites. But getting back to, you know, the healing of God, if you think about it, that we're all pieces of something that's trying to perfect. The more we perfect, the more God is greater, so to speak. There's more perfection. There's more perfection. You talked about opening up as a method of healing, right? You say when you open to love.
Opening up, but I don't believe in perfection here
right.
on earth.
No, no, no. Perfection is a goal. It's not a... It's
even
like
as a goal.
Your reach should out. What is it? The saying. Your reach should be greater than your grasp. In other words, you should always be going for that. Doesn't mean you're going to reach it, but it's something to go for, to try to be better. You know, you reach for the ideal. You never attain it, but you reach for it because this pushes you in that direction, right? I mean, what is opening
well,
to
I don't believe that, but I'm listening to what your impression is of it.
Okay, go ahead.
Meaning, from a psychological point of view, I don't think anybody believes they're perfect. They do what they're capable of doing, and I believe this striving is for performance as opposed to perfection.
Well, the perfection is just the ideal. You never get there, but it's the thing you're going to. It's, in other words, you're going. It's the end point, so you're moving in that direction. It's just a guide. It's just a guide, so we know this is the direction we're going. So you try to be better and better. I mean, because if you don't have that,
but
then
see,
why?
You
then,
strive,
then you might stop at a certain point and say, "Okay, I can't go any further." But it's not true. You may be able to go further. You see, if your ideal or your goal not to mean that you're going to attain it, but where you're moving towards is beyond your grasp, then you'll go. You can go as far as you can. You see what I'm saying? There's no limit. That doesn't limit your movement. Your how much you can get better and better, right? If you say
well,
I only...
Those are not terms I would use because striving
okay.
to get better and better from a psychological point of view means you're not okay now. You're not happy
okay.
with who you are. And in order to be... First, you have to be happy with who you are. And not strive to get better. Use techniques that will draw you for a better performance, perhaps, rather than pushing to always get better and better and better, which means you're never complete or okay with where you are now.
Well,
you see, so to me... Healing God is healing our hearts, opening to love so God can reside in earth. So we bring God down to earth.
But we
and that's
okay.
what healing God is healing our hearts, opening our hearts to receive that divine light and love.
Yeah, but in order to do that, you have to be more comfortable with yourself. Look, everybody knows we all have problems, issues, whatever you want to call it. I don't think it's counter to everyone. Anyone's going to feel so terrible to realize that they may not be perfect in many ways. You know, they could always improve this, they could always improve that.
Well,
I
believe
mean,
perfection is
that doesn't mean
the
you're
world.
Bad. Well, I'm not saying perfect, but you can improve. You know, I may be a decent cook or this, but I could always be better. Okay? So, you know, in other words, don't limit yourself. That's all I'm saying. I mean, we may be agreeing here, but expressing it differently. You know, I'm just saying by... Look, a whole journey, I think, is a spirit, as a soul.
So do you believe God needs to be healed?
It's not a matter of needing. I think it's more, when you get on that level, it's more about it is. In other words, some things just are. It's not a value judgment. There's no values involved. It's just the way it is. Okay? This is the process. This is what's going on. And, you know, and it's not something about somebody saying right and wrong or something like that. It's just something you have to accept or not, if you choose not to. But I just believe this is what's happening. This is the process. And we could participate or not. I mean, I hear things, I learn things that may not be true. I may think I understand something and maybe I'm wrong about certain things, sure. But my understanding is that we choose to come back to Earth each time in each lifetime because we want to improve something about ourselves. So we go through certain struggles and we have certain handicaps and we choose our parents because we know maybe this parent, you know, and won't be as loving as he or she might be. And they may agree to play that role. So we'll have to try to, you know, compensate for that during our life. So we'll struggle in that regard. And then during that struggle, we'll learn certain things, you know, things that will make us grow and be a better soul, a better human being and a better soul. Look, even if it's, you know, it's not particularly a particular religious point of view, but the concept of Jesus and the things that Jesus believed in, you know, loving, turning, you know, being loving and all that, and kind and all those things, you know, those are wonderful concepts. And it's those kinds of concepts, you know, unconditional love, forgiveness, you know, patience, all those wonderful attributes are things that people have to learn, and it may take lifetimes to do that, you know. So, you know, that's, you know, I, you know, it's all part of it, I think, or psychology, you know, and other aspects of life are all part of. So, you know, maybe God, I don't know if God is the perfect entity now or grows as people get more perfected. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but we're moving in that direction. People try to get better, don't you think? I mean, besides even living a better life, don't you think people try to be better people?
Some do, some don't. Some really want to learn how to live spiritual principles, and
okay,
some are just very happy watching football and baseball with a bottle of beer and popcorn and just...
Right. Yeah,
so not everybody does want to do that.
Well,
however,
okay.
Let me just
say one thing on that. That doesn't mean they don't serve a purpose in the grand scheme of things.
I didn't say they don't serve
a
purpose.
Okay, I didn't say you did. I'm just saying, but
yeah,
they could.
There's always
you know,
a purpose for everything.
Okay.
However, I believe there is an innate desire for us each to find our purpose.
Okay.
And when we start finding it and living it, that's when there will be more healing on earth for God to reside, more light and love. I do believe that that's the goal for all of us, finding meaning and purpose, and it doesn't mean having this grand scheme or mission. It could be as a wife, supporting her husband in work, being a good mother. It could be a secretary supporting a boss. It's how you live with what you're doing. Like people will say to me often that you can't live spiritually in the corporate world because it's so cutthroat. And I believe you can manage with integrity, deal with people from kindness and love. You can still learn these spiritual qualities. And I do believe that that's what the healing for us and for God is all about. And, you know, there are 10 dimensions of consciousness or 10 attributes that we really want to learn, which is on the Tree of Life. And, of course, it's having a belief in a higher power. It's committing to come from our higher self, learning gratefulness, but authentic gratefulness. Meaning I have a lot of very affluent clients who might say, I know I should be grateful for my life. I have 2 Porsches. I live in a $5 million house, but I don't feel it inside. And that's why I call it authentic gratefulness, faith, compassion, living with being non-judgmental, non-critical, and non-controlling, and then living with unconditional love and loving kindness, and then having a vision and mission, and then it's wisdom opening to receive revelation and prophecy. And then oneness. And I do believe that's the goal for all of us, to learn these attributes, to learn to feel these attributes, not just say them.
Well, I think for the people with, you know, $5 million homes and so on and so forth, they have to understand is it's nice, you know, it's nice to enjoy money and all that. But it, you know, you can't expect it to do everything for you because it's not supposed to. The things that that person, whoever that might be, or you know, if it really represents one individual, has to understand is that the only things that really, really, truly matter in the sense that that person was saying were the things you really take with you when you die, and you can't take your house with you. Or any of your money or your material things, you take is your lessons. You take memories and lessons and growth, and those are the things. So it's a separate, it's a completely separate entity issue. Yeah, people try to overcome their bad feelings by making a lot of money, and it's extremely common. It's the common theme. But,
well, it all goes back to
peace. And, yeah.
It goes back to not feeling good about themselves inside.
Of course.
And this is the biggest issue, actually, not feeling worthy or deserving of divine love. That, I believe, is the crux of our issues.
Sure. I just want to remind people, because we're going to cut the live feed in a minute and a half. So I just want to tell everyone you're listening to Getting on Top on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Paul Morris. We're here Tuesdays, that is, 4 to 4:30 p.m. And when the live feed cuts, if you want to hear the rest of the show, you just go to the podcast after the show, immediately after, and you can fast forward and listen to the last few minutes of the show. And we're talking about healing God and with my host, Penny Cohen. So, do you believe we're part of God?
Well, I once made a broad comment in front of a group of about 100 people, and I said, I am God. And they looked at me like I was nuts. I believe we all have a part of God within us. And the lessons we need to learn is to how to open up more, to receive that divine love, and to love others in that same way and help them do the same thing. And that's when we will heal back to oneness. I think that's the healing, is back to oneness.
Well,
right now, sure. We're shattered in separation.
Well, on this, certainly in this, on this side, as opposed to the other side, let's be simple, call heaven and earth. We're on earth, we are part of duality, so we're split. You know, we have the soul and the ego, those two little, you know, like those two little people on our shoulders, you know, the angel and the devil, so to speak, and each one like the Lord of the Rings, you know, where it's literal and they're arguing with each other, you know, do this, do that. And it is kind of like that, actually. And,
well, the goal is to heal the ego, to make it a healthy, strong ego.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably a topic for another time.
Sure.
That a lot of people say we need to let go of the ego. We need to become egoless. And I don't believe that.
You can't be
to
egoless,
me,
literally.
We need an ego, but a healthy, strong ego. Because if we become egoless, there's no I to even say I love you.
No. Sure. And also you couldn't get out through the door. We need the ego to function. When
but
people
that's
say
a good
that,
topic for another time.
Well, people have said this to me. I went to a meeting once, and all these people said, like, they thought they transcended their ego, and I looked at them like they were crazy. How to make friends and influence people, you know. Needless to say, I wasn't very welcome back the next time. But, you know, the truth's the truth as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, they're delusional. Kidding themselves. I mean, you can't be, even if you meant it in the as a metaphorically, you couldn't attain that. None of us are that perfect. So, I mean, it's, you know, they're deluding themselves. It's silly, but you're right. It is definitely a topic for another time. Okay, so why don't you just, you know, wrap up your thoughts about this topic, and I'll give you my last thoughts, and then I'll let you tell people find out more about you.
Bottom line is, in order to stop judging and criticizing, we want to talk from the I factually, no labeling, generalizing, and that will stop when we start loving ourselves. And if you look in the mirror and smile, you'll see a smile coming right back at you. And you know the term, smile and the world smiles with you.
Mm-hmm.
Ignore yourself and you feel alone.
I think that's great. That's great advice. certainly, in working with people, especially with depression, and I know for myself on a personal level, thinking about happy things, you know, makes you feel happy. It's that simple.
Right.
Took me almost a lifetime to, you know, I got to say this. God bless my mother. And she told me that many years ago when I was young and foolish, and now I'm old and foolish. But I thought it was the silliest thing I ever heard. And
what was the actual statement?
Think happy thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
And little did I know, it took me decades in my ultimate wisdom to finally find out how brilliant she was in that simple statement.
Right.
You know, but, you know, especially people of that generation that went through the wars and the depression, boy, they knew about life. They didn't have to go to college or have a PhD. And they knew about life, and she was so right. And so I'll leave it at that. And so, Penny, why don't you tell people how to find out more about you and anything that you're doing right now that they may be interested in?
Okay. People can see me on my website, pennycohen.com. Or else they can contact me through email, penny@pennycohen.com. and phone 914-764-1708. And I'm in the process of actually developing more group work and webinars. And if anybody's interested, please contact me.
Excellent. And then I just want to give an unsolicited testimonial. I've worked with a couple, maybe one or two therapists in my lifetime. And I've done work with Penny as she the counselor and me the patient, so to speak. And I will say unequivocally, she's the best around. So I would say if you need counseling, Penny's the person to go to. And
can I get that in writing, Paul?
Yes, you will get it right. I owe you one.
You.
I never gave it to you. I never wrote it, but I did promise. But I will get it to you. And I don't give testimonials easily, by the way. So, and if
Thank
anyone
you.
Would like to find out more about me, you could go to depressivesanonymous.org. Depressivesanonymous, one word, .org. Just like Alcoholics Anonymous, depressivesanonymous.org. And find out more about me and my work and working with people with depression and emotional trauma. And just remember, everyone heals themselves. We are just the agents. We are the guides. But you are the healer of yourself. But we'll show you how. So thank you very much. Thank you, Penny, for being
my pleasure.
My guest today. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And we're going to have some interesting shows coming up. I have someone who is a diviner, but not divining water, but going to people's homes and cleaning them up energy-wise. She's going to be someone who's going to be on the show in a few weeks. And so we'll look forward to that. Goodbye, everyone. We're going out to Freight Train Freddy.
He was up each morning with the dawn, because he knew his daily run was long and hard, and he had to
be ready
to get his freight train down the track. Determination he would never lack. The little locomotive called Freight Train Freddy. Everybody was his friend, and they all helped him to the end to keep those freight cars rolling along steady. He never knew what to expect and was very careful not to wreck the little locomotive called Freight Train Freddy. The little locomotive called Freight Train Freddy.